I want us to turn in our Bibles this evening
to a very familiar passage of God's Word in Romans chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and we commence reading at the verse number 8. Let's follow the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's just take time to bow our heads before the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to bless his word. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we can approach thy throne in no merits of our own, for we have none, but we approach thy throne through the merits of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior. We thank thee for the privilege of coming before thy throne. For thou hast said in thy word that if we draw nigh unto thee, that thou wilt draw nigh unto us. And as we open thy word this evening, we pray that thou wilt take of thy word, that thou wilt bless thy word to each and every one of our hearts. That as we search the scriptures for a moment this evening, that thou wilt take of thy word and that thou wilt search our hearts. Glorify thy Son in this meeting. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A few moments ago we sang a lovely hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, as vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I want to speak for a few moments this evening upon the subject of salvation. You know, sometimes when you ask a person, are you saved, they get rather irritated. They do not like that very pointed question, are you saved? Do you know God's so great and so wonderful salvation? And sad to say, many pulpits today are silent concerning the need of man's salvation. They do not preach that Jesus Christ is the Savior of men and women, Savior of the soul. And yet I believe that the most important subject that a preacher could ever preach upon is the subject of God's salvation, because that is why Jesus Christ came into this world. Because the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And therefore, if that is the reason why Christ came into this world, and if the preacher is to preach Christ, then I ask the question, why is it that he leaves out his salvation that Christ offers freely to us in the gospel? You see, the most important subject that you could preach upon is salvation through the blood and through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. I heard the story one time of a little boy who was with his grandfather. And they went out in a boat together and they were going up this around this beautiful lake. The grandfather was a very interesting person, and you know, as they were sailing up this lake and around it, the time was quickly passing, and you know, the grandfather was pointing out different sights to his little grandson. And then he said to him, he says, son, tell me. He looked at the beautiful leaves of the flowers that were there, and he says, son, tell me, do you know anything about botany? The wee boy looked at him, he says, granda, what do you mean? He says, I don't know how to spell it. I could hardly even say it. Well, he said, listen, son, I want to tell you, you've got to learn about botany, because if you don't know about botany, you in actual fact will lose nearly half your life if you don't know anything about botany. They were going along the lake and they were looking at these beautiful rocks that were along the lake side, and also across the fields, they could see these formation of these rocks. And the grandfather looked at the little boy and he says, son, tell me, what do you know about geology? He says, granda, I really don't know anything about it. Oh, he said, listen, grandson, I want to say this. You've got to learn this at school. This is so important, because if you don't know about geology, listen, you'll lose half your life if you don't know about the subject of geology. Time was quickly passing. And you know, it started to get into the evening time and the stars started to come out into the sky. And you know, the grandfather says, tell me, son, do you know much about astrology? Wow, grandfather. What is it? Astrology? Yes, he said, what do you know about astrology? He says, grandfather, I don't know anything about astrology. Granddad said, listen, son, you better learn about botany, and you better learn about geology, and you better learn about astronomy, because you lose out half of your life. So he decided, listen, it's about time to go back. And just as they were turning the boat to go back, this big wave just came along and the boat just tumbled over. And there was Granda in the water, and the little boy was in the water. But of course the wee boy had been in the swimming pool many times. And there he was, and he was swimming straight along to the side. And my, he was getting there to safety. And he looked back and he saw his grandfather, and he was just, my, splashing up and down. And the wee boy shouts to his grandfather. He said, Granda! What do you know about swimming? He says, son, I don't know anything. He says, granda, you've lost all your life. You see, friend, there are things that you and I don't really need to know. We don't lose the most important thing, our soul. But I tell you, the Word of God says, what should it profit a man even if he was to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is nothing. Tell me, what do you know about God's salvation tonight? Because I can tell you, it's important that you do. Now you'll notice in this passage of God's Word in the book of Romans, and the chapter 10 and verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, verse number 10, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tell me, why did Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, mention so many times about salvation, and yet preachers today have forgotten it? And pulpits are silent about it? In Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, that's the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I want us this evening, just very simply, to look at that verse number 13 of Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the subject of salvation. And the first thing I want to notice, the substance of salvation. Secondly, I want us to notice the simplicity of salvation. Thirdly, the surety of salvation. And then finally, the scope of salvation. Notice first of all, the substance of the text. What is it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen, shall be saved. Salvation, the very substance of the text. You know, many of the verses in the Bible that speak about salvation. For example, the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So Christ and salvation linked together. I am the door, says Jesus. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John's Gospel, chapter 3, it says, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. There it is again. Isaiah the prophet, way back in the 45th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, verse 22 says, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Who is the he? Well, we'll find out in a moment. Well, he is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when we look at this very substance of salvation, the first little thought is this, the must of salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Not as we.
Can they?
If you like it, if you want. So you must be. Jesus said to Nicodemus long ago, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now why did Jesus say, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again? Because Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a man that tithed. He was a man that fasted. He was a man that was very, very religious. And yet with all his knowledge about religion, he did not experience and know about the new birth. And Jesus says, marvel not, I'm saying unto you, religious Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, friend, we are filled with a world that's full of religion. And yet men and women are missing God's salvation. There is a must of salvation. I must be saved. Some people say, well, why must I be saved? Isn't man all right? Am I good enough if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I say my prayers, if I'm religious, if I'm clean living? If I do the best I can, surely what more could God ever ask you? Let me tell you, my friend, the God of heaven says you must be saved from your sin. Why? Because you are a sinner. Romans chapter 3 verse 22 says, there is no difference. What's he talking about? No difference. What about? Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when people say to me, you know, I'm as good as the next person, I say, that's right. What about the next person? He's a sinner. So are you. So am I. For God says there's no difference. Let me tell you, the queen on the throne, the pauper in the street, there's something that levels every one of us. Doesn't matter who we are, we're so proud of our race, we're so proud of our education, we're so proud of our upbringing, and so many of these things, and rightly so in a certain way. But let me tell you, my friend, at best, you and I are sinners. And the best that a sinful soul can do is sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And your sin will take you to hell for all eternity. For the devil pays out in counterfeit money. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. You see, you work your sin. And you'll get your wages at the end. It's eternal death. It's eternal separation from God, friend. It's hell forever. But the gift of God's eternal life. You don't work. I cannot work my soul to save, but that my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the sake of God's dear Son. Then we must be saved. I must be saved from the power of sin. Because of myself, I am chained and I am fettered by sin. I'm in the muck and the mire of sin. I'm down there in the pit of the miry clay of my sin. But praise God, one day in grace, Jesus reached down. And he brought me from that fearful pit and from that miry clay. And he saved me. For I needed to be saved. When I was a little boy, I went to a church, friend. But the preacher never once told me I needed to be saved. But I went to a little gospel meeting and a gospel mission. And there I heard the sweet news that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into this world to save sinners. And I realized I was a sinner. He came to save me. And on the 4th of June 1957, the wee boy of 8 years of age, by faith received Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And tonight, thank God, I'm saved. But I must be saved. But there's not only the must of salvation, friend. There's the mercy of salvation. Turn to the book of Titus. In Titus, we have a little verse there in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. And it says this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. There's the mercy of salvation. According to His mercy. We read in Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 12. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. He is rich in mercy. There is not one person will ever be in heaven will say, Lord, I deserve to be here. Lord, You could never send me to hell because I was that person that was different from everybody else. I deserve to get through the pearly gates. I deserve to walk the golden streets. Friend, let me tell you, we deserve hell. We deserve judgment. We deserve wrath because of our sin. But thank God, God is rich in mercy. God's grace is great riches at Christ's expense. And thank God, God gives us what we don't deserve. Isn't God gracious? But God's merciful. Because if God is gracious, He doesn't give us what we do deserve, friend. Listen, God is merciful that He doesn't give us what we do deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve wrath. We deserve punishment. But thank God, He is rich in His mercy toward us. The mercy of salvation. But very quickly, the miracle of salvation. Saul of Tarsus was riding down that Damascus road. And God stopped him on that road. And listen, Saul of Tarsus was religious. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was persecuting the Christians. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do in his religious fervor. And yet when the Lord stopped him on the Damascus road and He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What did Saul answer? Who are you, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? You see, friend, he had got religion. He was able to say, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Listen, as touching the law, he says, I'm blameless. He was able to say all of those things. Read about it in Philippians chapter 3. But listen, friend, he had religion, but he didn't know the Lord. And I'm asking you a simple question. Do you know the Lord Jesus tonight? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Is there a moment in your life when you came by simple faith and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and acknowledged your sinfulness and acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the only Savior? And on that Damascus road, friend, I believe that that day the Lord saved Saul. For whenever Ananias was sent to that house in that city, God says, behold, he prayeth. And Ananias went in and he put his hand upon him and he said to him, "Brother Saul." He was already in the family of God. He was saved in that Damascus road. Listen, one moment he was on his way to hell, and the next moment, praise God, he was a child of God on the way to heaven. That's the miracle of salvation. And friend, you don't grow into salvation. It's the miracle of God's salvation. Thank God it's done instantly. He saved me. He saved me. And friend, tonight, he's able to save you, because that brings me to the man of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He doesn't leave us in our sin, friend. You see, when a person's saved, they become a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." That's the very heart of salvation. It's the Lord, friend. Jesus saves. You sang that hymn tonight too. I never met my grandparents. All my grandparents on mum's side and dad's side were gone before I was born. But my mother told me the night that her mother, my granny, died. And she left 8 little children behind her. And the father and the children were sitting up in the room in a little country house in Northern Ireland, and as they were waiting there, and mother was down in the bedroom sleeping and was near the end of life's journey, then they heard singing, and they went down into the little hallway and they looked into the room, and there was a mother pulling herself up on the bed, and she was singing, "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Jesus saves." Spread the glad news all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Climb the hills and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I never met my grandmother, but let me tell you, I'm doing what you were singing about the night she died. I climbed the hills of Peru. I crossed the muddy waters of the Amazon. And you know what I told them? What Granny sang that night before she went home to heaven. And it's what I'm telling you tonight. Jesus saves. And thank God he's able to save to the uttermost. There is not a person too hard. There is not a person too low, friend. You know, there are people in society and people say, you know, that person's beyond hope. Let me tell you, he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save Saul of Tarsus on his way to persecute the Christians, to imprison them, to put them to death. And in a moment, the Lord stopped him. And he fell on his face to the ground and he fell before the Lord. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Listen. And before he finished, he said, "Lord." See the difference? The first time he spoke to the Lord, he didn't know the Lord. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord was at the end of the sentence. See, the next time he spoke, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Who was first? The Lord. Thank God when the Lord saves you, He's first in your life. Seek first. Seek first. Now, I don't know, you young people, I don't know what your plans are for the future, but I'm saying this to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put the Lord first. And it says, and all these things shall be added. You don't lose out when you serve the Lord. All these things shall be added unto you. The substance of salvation is simplicity. Very quickly, it says, whosoever shall call. The word there is a child's cry. A child's cry. And that's what happened on the 4th of June 1957. A child cried. This child cried unto the Lord, feeling the burden of my sin, knowing that my sin would take me to a Christless eternity, knowing I needed to be saved, hearing the good news, the grand tidings of the gospel, that God had provided in His Son a remedy for my sin. And I cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Save me. Isn't that what Peter cried out? Do you remember the Lord walking in the water? And Peter said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee in the water. And Jesus said, Peter, come. Peter got out of the boat. He started to walk in the water, but friend, the sea was angry. And the weirs were lashing there upon him. And he got his eyes of the Lord as he was walking to Jesus. And he got his eyes of the Lord. And he got his eyes upon the billows and the sea and all the rest of it. And he began to sink. And as he was going down into the water, yes, the disciples were in the boat. But he didn't cry out to them. He cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I love the next part of the verse. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. And then I tell you, the moment the sinner calls upon the Lord, immediately, the Lord will reach forth His hand of grace and mercy. And He saves your soul. The prodigal was making his way home. He acknowledged that what a fool he had been. Wasted everything his father had given him in riotous living. And he spent all, and nobody wanted him now. He had nothing more to give them. He was a great lad when he had plenty to offer, plenty to give. But when he spent all and he was hungry, and he sat down at that old swine trough, and he craved after even the food that the cuss that the swine did eat. As he sat there, he remembered home. And he said, I will arise and I'll go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Then it says this, and he arose and came to his father. And while he was a great way off, his father saw him. For the father was waiting for him. And maybe you're saying tonight, but I'm such a sinner. I've done so many things are wrong. And the Lord won't have me. What did you think the boy felt out in the far country when he wasted everything his father had given him? Maybe father won't have me. But friend, he came to the end of himself. He had nowhere else to go. And that's what the sinner has to do. He's got to come to the end of himself. You've got to stop, friend, trying to save yourself and thinking that you can make it your own way. You've got to come to the end of yourself and arise and go to God. And the father ran and fell upon his neck and he kissed him. Sure, he was wretched and poor. This was not the boy that left home. Sure, he smelt of the swine trough. There's so many reasons the father wouldn't have him, but friend, let me tell you, the father loved him. And the father fell on his neck and he rained kisses upon his son and he said, "My son." And the boy said, "Father," remember what he intended to say. He said, "Father, I've sinned against you. I'm no more, and before heaven and in your sight, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And he came to his father and he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Never got saying the next sentence. He never got saying, "Make me one of your hired servants." Do you know why? Because he was a son. The father stopped him. And the father says, "Kill the fatted calf. Get the best robe. Get the ring for his finger. Get the shoes for his feet. This, my son." Maybe there's someone here tonight and you've wandered away from the Lord. The devil said, "You know, you have let the Lord down. There's no way back." The devil's a liar, friend. He's the father of lies. Your failure's not final. Peter found that. And he wept, heartbroken, repented. "Tell the disciples and Peter, I go before them into Galilee." The Lord loved him still. Backslider tonight, the Lord loves you still. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." Will he call? Notice the surety. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Didn't say might be. Didn't say maybe. So shall be. Dead on certain. And friend, I know that's true. "For the night I called upon the name of the Lord, and I laid hold on his promise, and I believed him." Oh, what a faithful God. He didn't help me to save myself. He didn't show me how to save myself. Thank God he saved me from my sin. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open that you may go in at Calvary's cross. That's where you begin. As you come as a sinner to Jesus. You say, "William, but are you sure that I can be saved tonight?" Notice the first word. Whosoever. Whoever you are tonight. While the voice of God is calling, be in time. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." I'm glad I didn't say, "If William McCrae called on the name of the Lord, he should be saved." And I'll tell you why. My grandfather was William McCrae. My great-grandfather was William McCrae. My uncle was William McCrae, and I'm William McCrae. Tell me, could I be sure it was me that God was meaning when he said, "William McCrae"? But I can be sure. Whosoever. Thank God that took me in. And And he saved me. It is no secret, friend, what God can do for what he did for me. He can surely do for you. May God give you grace to come to him. Come unto me. And him that cometh to me. This is what God said. I will in no wise cast you out. Here's God, he bring you in. Into the fold of the redeemed. Into the family of God. And then one day, into heaven itself. Will you call upon him? Friend, if you haven't, I beg you, in Jesus' name,